We are about to talk about tech in foster care. Join us today on Fostering the Future.
Welcome to the Fostering the Future podcast, a show about all things child welfare, dependency, adoption, and foster care. Here are your hosts, veterans in the world of child welfare, Jack and Kat.
We believe that every human has incredible and equal value regardless of what side of the courtroom we sit on. We hope that everyone feels welcome and accepted here on Fostering the Future.
Make sure you follow us on Facebook or Instagram as Fostering the Future Podcast, or check us out on our website at fosteringthefuturepodcast.org.
This is Jack, and I wanted to do a quick episode with you guys to talk about tech in foster care. I was teaching about this topic in a local foster parent association group this weekend, and I had done it before for them, and I thought, why not share it with our listeners? I just wanted to run through a couple things with you, and there might be something in here that you haven't thought of that might make your life easier. Yeah, here we go. So I just wanted to talk about how you could use technology as a foster parent to make your life easier and safer. The first area we're going to chat about is just in general parenting. So a lot of this stuff could apply even if you weren't a foster parent. This is great stuff for foster parents to kind of make your life easier. Well, the first thing we're going to talk about is organization and organizing your life. Sometimes when you have more kids in your house, that could be a little extra challenging. But then when you add in court dates and staffings and family visits and home visits and licensing renewals and all the other stuff that gets thrown into the equation when you're a foster parent, you know, organization is really important. So the first thing that I use tech for as far as organizing my life as a parent is in calendars. I personally use Google Calendar, but I have it synced up to my iCalendar so that my calendar is native on my phone, on my iPad, on my MacBook. I have all of these synced up so that if I add an event in one place, it's going to show up everywhere else. Obviously, you know, you could use Google Calendar, you can use iCalendar. I'm sure there's a million other calendar apps out there, but I highly recommend using one and making sure it can sync across your devices. One of the things I do with my calendaring is I'm very specific, even about like the most mundane daily activities, so that I can avoid overbooking. For example, if there's a certain time every day that a child has to take a medicine, it goes into my calendar. I add the drop-off times for each school that I'm dropping off and picking up at, I put that in my calendar along with the address of the school. That way it makes it really easy if I need like my mother-in-law or a friend to pick my kids up, I could just kind of send them the calendar invite. Also, most of your devices will see if there's an address in your calendar and let you know exactly when you need to leave. So for me, this is really helpful if I'm busy editing a podcast and I lose track of time sometimes when I do that. So my phone will pop up at me and says, hey, you should leave in the next 5 minutes. I would say just to make sure you calendar everything. Even if something comes up, like a case manager calls and says, hey, I'm in the neighborhood, can I stop by for a visit? I put that in my calendar. That way, if anybody has any question later about whether that case manager visited, you can see that it's in your calendar. And likewise, when they reschedule and make changes, I always note that in my calendar so that if I am questioned at any point in time, I will have that information available. And it's an easy thing to search. You know, I'm sure most calendar apps are like this, but if I go into my Google Calendar and I type in case manager or the particular child's name, I could pull up all the applicable information, which is really handy when the case manager comes over and wants to know when their next doctor's appointment is. I can open up my calendar and search the child's name and it pops up. So again, the calendar is a great way to document doctor's visits, case manager visits, family visits. Another thing I do is I review my calendar on a weekly basis. So over the weekend, I'll look at my calendar for the week and make sure that I didn't overbook something. And when I say make sure I didn't overbook something, what I really mean is find out how many overbookings I have for the following week so that I can try and, you know, reschedule and resolve any overlaps or trying to be in too many places at once, which inevitably happens to a certain extent. And then every night when I'm laying in bed playing with my phone, you know, getting on Monopoly Go, I also check my calendar for the next day just so that I'm not surprised by anything that comes up. And again, if I had accidentally double booked something, I'll be able to at least resolve it before the time comes. The other thing I do is I use widgets on my computer, on my phone, on my iPad. The widgets will like show my calendar right on the desktop or the home screen of the phone so that I don't even have to go into a calendar app. When I pick up my phone, I just turn it on and right there on the screen tells me like all of the things that I have scheduled for that day. And that also pops up on my watch. So really handy. I would recommend trying to sync your calendar with every device that you have that will sync with it. We sync our calendars to Alexa. That makes it really easy for everybody in my house. We have the Alexa Shows, which is the ones with a little screen on it. Anybody in my house can just walk past and see what our calendar is for the upcoming day or two, which definitely helps Jack Daddy not have as many excuses when he tries to claim he doesn't know about something. The other thing I would also recommend is if your device allows for notifications, for example, what I was mentioning before with it letting you know, hey, you should leave in the next 5 minutes. The other thing that I use to organize my life as a parent, and certainly as a foster parent, is task managers. I used to like go out and like really research what the best task manager was and try a bunch of them. And I always had a specific one that I liked. But at some point, the Apple Reminders app got an upgrade because before you couldn't like organize the list very well. And now you can. So I have switched to using the Reminders app on my phone, which also will sync with my iPad and my computer. But there's a million task managers out there like To-Do, AnyDo, Google Tasks. A lot of them have some really cool features. The thing that I do is, first of all, I have my Reminders app or whichever app you're using. You sync it up to all of your devices. That way, if I'm on my phone at the grocery store and I check off went grocery shopping, it'll reflect on all my other devices. I have a task list that lists any grocery items that need to be purchased. And I share that list with my husband, with Jack Daddy. And when he is at the grocery store, he can access the grocery list as well. Or what happens more often is I'm at the grocery store, he adds something, it pops right up on my phone that something was added to the grocery list, and I could grab it while I'm out. Another thing I would recommend with your task manager or list or checkbox app or however you want to call it is to create separate lists. And I do that based on urgency and category. So, for example, I have a list called Today, and that is everything that my hopeful heart feels like I can accomplish today. I never accomplish everything on that list in the day, but, you know, the next day comes and I hack away at that list. But I also have another list called Not Today, Bitch, and that is my list of things that can definitely not get done today, but they're things that are on the horizon that I want to get done. And so, you know, there are times where I'm hacking away at my Today list and I can move something over from the Not Today, Bitch list. But then I've also got different categories of lists. Like I've got a list of like, hey, things we need to do for the house. This is a list of things I need to do at work. These are episodes I want to record for the podcast. These are episodes that need to be edited for the podcast. I manage all of those lists in that one app. It makes my life easier to be able to have a picture of what needs to be done. If I didn't have a checklist, I would get nothing done ever. Also, I am a big fan of checking off that little circle box or check mark or what have you when you complete a task, especially if the app makes a nice noise when you do it. That is incredibly satisfying. I would recommend that you make a primary list that you work off of each day. I call it Today. You could have fun with it, name it whatever you want, but the primary one that has the most urgent stuff on it, I would make sure you have a primary list and, you know, make sure you take a peek at it in the night, in the morning, you know, you're on car line, sitting, you know, playing, you know, some card game on your phone. Check out your task list to kind of organize what you've got to get done for the day. The next recommendation I would have is to add every tiny little thing to your task list. You know, even if you're like, oh, I don't need to write this down, I'll remember it. Well, you're missing out, my friend. You want the satisfaction of checking off that box. It'll help you feel more productive and get you more motivated to get your next stuff done. Another thing you can do with most of these task managers is schedule tasks to happen on a daily or weekly basis. So, for example, if you have to give little Johnny some type of medicine every morning or every night, have it pop up in your task list every morning or every night. And that way you won't forget it because you literally have to check it off. And just like the calendars, you can use a widget on your home screen of your phone or tablet, and often on the desktop of your computer to manage your tasks so that you could kind of have a view of what you're supposed to be working on when you're really, you know, scrolling the tick of the clock. Just like with the calendars, if there's something important, I would recommend that you add a notification for that task. That way it'll pop up and make sure you don't forget it for something that is a little more urgent. Okay, so we talked about organization, using tech for organization. How about using tech for documentation? I have always been a fan of Dropbox, but there's a million cloud storage options out there these days. I do also use iCloud. I know Google Drive is an option. There was one called Box. I'm not sure if that's still around, but there's plenty of cloud storage apps and I highly recommend using them. So I have a folder for each one of my kids and I always put their placement form in there. I take a picture of it and throw it in a folder in my Dropbox as soon as a child is placed with me. That way, if I'm at the doctor and I forgot to bring the blue binder, hey, Dr. So-and-so, let me just email this to your front desk. And any other important documents that you might need to have access to when you're not home, I scan those and I put those in the child's Dropbox folder. You can also put your foster care license in there because some places you'll go to. And I know at the YMCA here, we get a special membership for the whole family at a discounted rate if you provide your foster license. So that's another great thing you can store in your cloud storage app. And kind of along those lines, but maybe more specific, are scan apps. So rather than just taking a picture of something and uploading it as an image, you can take a picture and store it as a PDF. This comes in really handy if you are at the doctor's office and they provide you maybe a document with the information about the child's physical health that you might want to get over to the case manager or send over to their parent. Well, you can use a scan app and it will not only allow you to turn that image into a PDF and share it, but it also gives you the option to save it in various folders, which is another form of cloud storage. So that's super handy. I use Adobe Scan, but I used to use Genius Scan and, you know, Same thing. The last thing I would recommend for documentation is using a notes app. Use one app for everything and have it sync across your devices. You can use this from anything for, you know, making notes about something that you wanted to mention to the case manager next time they come. I also have notes for when I'm going to one of my kids' doctor's appointments. I'll create a note in my notes app with all the questions that I want to ask. You can organize these by folder. My life honestly very much works because of my calendaring, my task managering, and my noting. Highly recommend those three things. And if it's not something you're currently doing and you feel like it might help you, give it a try. The last thing I wanted to talk about, since we've talked about organization in parenting and documentation in parenting, is using tech for fun in parenting. These three things are probably more logistical than just fun, but you know, we definitely have fun with them. One of them is, you know, they make these Alexa Dots, which are these devices you can put around your house. There's also a Google version. There's also an Apple version. You can get them very inexpensively. I think there are times a year where the Alexa Dots like $19 each. I remember when I was a kid, I used to watch Brady Bunch. One of the things that I thought was really cool was that there was the intercom on the wall that you could talk to someone totally on the other side of the house. So we use our Alexa Dots and shows and, you know, whichever devices we have in whatever room. We use those throughout the house to talk to each other. You know, the kids use them for music, our cooking dinner, dance parties are always powered by Alexa. We use them for alarms. We use them to turn lights on and off, unlock locked doors. I've even overheard a kid or two asking Alexa questions to help finish homework. So, you know, they go pretty far. You can also ask the weather before you get your kids dressed in the morning. I walk past my Alexa and I say, hey, what's the weather? Usually there's some weird pun in the beginning, but I do end up getting the weather variants for the day. The second thing that I would mention is AirTags. And I think AirTags probably go a lot beyond fun, especially in my house. But if you have things that you always lose in your house, like the remote control, like your car keys, like whatever, you can stick an AirTag on it and not lose it. And I know the Apple AirTags are like $25, something like that. We put those on everything. We put them on our kids. We put them on every remote control because we're just so sick of losing them. My son has these Beats headphones, and if he does not have them, we all have to listen to the Miles Morales soundtrack 24/7. So it's really important for us that he does not lose his headphones. We couldn't find a lot of devices and items have AirTag holders. We couldn't find anything that would work for his headphones. So, you know, we went old school tech and we just wrapped some duct tape around, you know, he's got these fancy Beats headphones and they're wrapped up with duct tape so we could get the AirTag in there. But we haven't lost them since. So definitely recommend that. The last thing that I would recommend, and if you're listening to this podcast, I probably don't have to tell you this, but podcast subscriptions are life. I think I've learned more from podcasts than I did in college. You know, not to plug Fostering the Future podcast because, well, you're already here, but I've definitely learned a lot from the podcast that I have listened to. Making use of your car time or cleaning time or any time that you could just get an opportunity to throw some headphones in and kind of tune out. It's a great learning experience. I have a lot of fun listening to podcasts. There's some that I listen to that I know I've got to be in the right moment because I'm going to laugh my ass off. Definitely recommend signing up for some podcasts on whatever device you have. There will probably be a native podcasting app. If not, you can download Spotify or something like that, or Downstream. There's a bunch of them. So that's tech for parenting. The next thing I wanted to chat about was tech for security. The first thing that I would recommend is having security cameras around your house. This is a very affordable thing to do now because we use the Ring camera, which I feel like are relatively inexpensive. I think there's even one, they're like, I don't know, $15 or $20 a camera. If you have any concerns about your kid's safety or other people coming to your home, or, you know, we just are in a situation as foster parents where there's constantly people coming in and out of our house. For me, security cameras around my house make me feel a little better. It was probably one of the best choices we've made, and it's never necessarily been used for like a safety issue where there was, you know, a concern or something like that. It usually comes in handy when my kids are disagreeing about who pushed who off the swing and they're like, Mom, roll the camera. It definitely ends a lot of arguments. The other thing I would recommend is smart door locks, especially if you have an older kid who's taking the bus home and maybe getting home from school before you get there. If you have a smart door lock, you don't have to worry about them having to have a key that they might lose. You just give them a combination to the door. And what we like to do is every kid gets their own combination. So I know who gets home at what time if I'm not there, because it pops up on my phone and says, hey, this code plugged in, or this person plugged in their code to the front door. These smart door locks can also tell you when the door opens, when it closes, when it's locked, when it's not locked. If you're going to bed and you forgot to lock the front door, I can use an app to lock my front door. So you can also have them lock automatically. It's a great opportunity to have a little more information about, you know, what's going on in your door. The next thing that I would say is parental controls. A lot of us have kids who have devices. Very good intentions can go awry very easily the way that devices and the internet are these days. So I highly recommend, if you have a device, absolutely do not give that device to a child without some type of parental control on it. I had a situation one time with a kiddo where they were Googling something very innocent. They Googled something about farting and it went real bad real quick. Not only do I recommend making sure your kids' devices have parental controls, but when your kids get reunified, I also recommend having a conversation with that parent and sharing with them about the parental controls that you used for their devices at your house. What I tend to do is I'll log out of the parental controls and show them how they can log in so that they can get the notifications and they have the ability to make the changes for their child as they need. That way, I feel better knowing that as far as the internet goes, they're as safe at home as they were with us. Anything that I could do to help share information with their parent usually is only a positive thing. So the last thing I would do is make sure that your social accounts are private. The child who lives in your house is not your legal child, and you do not own their story. For a lot of reasons, I would recommend that you keep your social media accounts locked down so that only people who know you in real life can see your information. Also, you know, if you do have a situation with the parent who isn't safe, it helps you protect yourself because all of your information isn't out there for the world to see. And the last thing that I am going to say about tech for security is that sometimes the best tech is no tech. If you have a kiddo who has a lot of trouble making good choices, or in certain situations, you might just not want to be dealing with the issues and challenges that having tech brings into a house. Sometimes a lack of tech is the best tech, and you know, you've got to do what's best for your family. And I encourage you, if no tech is for you, keep on keeping on, man. So we have talked about tech for parenting. We have talked about tech for security. I'd love to talk to you about tech for co-parenting. It is really cool sometimes when we get to use tech to help those co-parenting relationships. Sometimes people don't feel comfortable talking to parents because they don't want them to have their personal phone number. Well, if that's the case, I would recommend you getting a phone number with Google Voice. That way you can route the calls to your phone and still allow the parent to have access to both you and their children, but you're not giving out your personal cell phone number. And if there becomes a problem with communication that you need to back away from, you have the controls within the Google Voice app to do that. The next thing that I would recommend in order to use tech to help co-parenting relationships is to use a cloud photo album so that you can just on the regular upload some photos to that album and share it to their parents. And maybe they can share it with other family members so that they don't feel like they're so separated from their kid during this time. I would definitely recommend doing that. It'll just make it easier than, you know, having to message over photos all the time. And then the parent doesn't have to feel like they're bothering you to ask for photos. The next thing is something that we're all pretty familiar with since COVID, but using Zoom calls when you're not able to meet in person. Obviously, it's not the same, but if somebody's sick or not able to make it to a visit, using a Zoom call instead is sure better than nothing. Even better, in addition to the in-person visits, is adding in Zoom calls on top of that so that there's even more interaction with the child and the parents. It helps them stay connected, and them staying connected will also help you with being part of helping to repair that situation. As I mentioned before, another cool thing to do as far as tech and co-parenting is when those kids are getting ready to reunify, when they're doing overnights, have a conversation with their parents about parental controls, especially if you could offer to show them how to set it up on the kids' devices. I think that's a great opportunity to talk about internet safety and different ways to protect the child that they might not have thought of before, especially if the child didn't have a device before coming into care. So that is using tech for co-parenting. The last thing that I would love to talk to you about is using tech for special needs parenting. Some of our kiddos have some extra special abilities and challenges, and when you can find a device to help make that a little less challenging for them, then you got to make use of that. The first thing that I would mention is GPS devices. When we first had a child with eloping tendencies, we had a pretty scary scare and immediately were like, I will spend any money in the world. I will do whatever I need to do. I will buy whatever I need to buy so that this never, ever, 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 ever happens again. So there are GPS devices specifically made for kids with special needs. The ones that we found were the Angel Sense and the GeoBit. The Angel Sense is a little bit more powerful. The GeoBit seemed to be a little more reliable. Honestly, for us, when we got an AirTag, the AirTag was twice as reliable as both of them were. Certainly did not have the same abilities. So if you have a child with special needs that elopes, I would definitely recommend you taking a look at all the GPS device options you have, from the AirTag to the Angel Sense to the GeoBit. Maybe also ask their doctor if there's something else that has come out that I don't know about yet. Also, don't forget the widgets. If you've got one of those devices that has apps that have widgets that you can put on your phone, I mean, that is bomb. Because we use the AirTag and it's Apple, so it's kind of native to our devices. I have widgets on my phone, so if you scroll to one of the, not the first, but like the second or the third home screen, I have a widget for each one of my kids in a little box. So on one screen, I have all of my kids and my husband, Jack Daddy, and it just shows where they are on a map in a little box. It's really nice to be able to just pull that up and just have a little bit of a relief that you know where all your kids are. The next thing that I would say is, and this has really been a big thing for us, is security cameras. As I mentioned before, for safety purposes, when you have a kiddo with special needs, especially when they elope, security cameras are everything. When we were struggling more with this before we put 8 million and 12 safety things into our plan, we did purchase security cameras to the point where every angle of the outside of our house is covered, and multiple other areas on our property also have security cameras, so that if a child did wander off or get out of their bed in the middle of the night and climb up on a chair and unlock all the locks and sneak out of the house, at least we could look at a camera and see in what direction they went. Fortunately, we haven't had to use that lately, but being able to see everything, if I can't be in two places at once and I can't be awake 24 hours a day, it definitely gives me a little bit of relief. And along those lines are motion sensors. Even some of our kids that aren't special needs sometimes like will wander at night or have night terrors, or sometimes they will wake up and eat until they make themselves sick or do other random things if they've experienced trauma. So having motion sensors on doors, if we're talking about a kid who could be in, you know, maybe a toddler or something, you might want to have like a loud alarm that goes off. But if you've got, you know, maybe a tween or something who struggles with waking up in the middle of the night and overeating, then you could just have a little notification pop off on your phone. That way you're not embarrassing them or scaring them. We can walk downstairs and have a conversation with them and make sure that they're okay. Again, as I mentioned before, smart door locks are great for a lot of reasons, but they're also great for kids with special needs, because if you have a kid who wanders or tries to leave the house in the middle of the night, your door can tell you. Your door can set off an alarm on your phone or on one of your devices in the house that will alert you to that. Another thing, similarly, especially if you have a kid on the spectrum or doesn't have a sense of danger, cabinet sensors along the lines of motion sensors can be very helpful, so that in addition to locking up meds, you could have a sensor that alerts you on your phone or sets off an alarm if one of those locks are broken and the door opens anyways. One of my favorite hacks for special needs parenting are these crazy cheap little plastic junky door alarms. You can buy a pack of like 12 of them on Amazon for like $12. They're pretty much disposable, but they have a little adhesive pad on the back. They come with one of those little circular batteries, like that are flat, like a coin battery. So we use these when we travel, because there is nothing more terrifying in the world than traveling with a child who elopes and hoping they don't sneak out at night and leave your hotel room. Even worse, when you go on a cruise ship, the one thing that really scared me when we went on a cruise the last time was worrying that my child would get out of our cabin while we were all sleeping and, you know, get lost or get hurt or get taken or fall off a boat. So, you know, some of these are really loud, but what I like to do, because I'm just very anxious about my child who elopes, is I just stack like three on top of each other. And when we go to bed, I just click all of them on. Yeah, sometimes in the morning we forget they're on and we open it and this crazy alarm goes off and we shut the door real quick and hope nobody heard. But I definitely highly recommend those cheap little door alarms. Some of them say like really, really loud, and they are really, really loud. So when you travel with a child who has special needs or a child who elopes, I highly recommend those door alarms. That's really everything I wanted to chat with you guys about. I hope maybe something that I said was something that you haven't already done and will help you become safer and happier and more organized in your lives.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Make sure you subscribe and follow us on social. We hope that you join us again next time and keep on fostering the future.